Community Bank. Your news time is just about 12:30. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. And what a gorgeous day. This is just so typical of April. We've had sun, we've had blue sky, we've had some clouds. Every once in a while, dark cloud blows by. A little bit of a breeze. It's warm. Things are greening up. It's nice. It's just typical mid-April. We're going to be talking with Howie Pentany today, wealth manager, Pentany Capital Management. See a little review of how investors did during the first quarter of 2019. Howie Pentany, good to see you. Nice to have you back with us.
Could you wait till I'm finished my sandwich?
You're wrapping up lunch over
yeah,
there.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Well, that's lunchtime. That's fine. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to us who are having lunch right now.
It's good to be here. It's been interesting. First quarter is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. 2019, 25% gone already. At the end of last year, markets had taken a downturn. Have they recovered in the first quarter of the new year?
Well, incredibly so, I think. Market S&P was down about 6 last year. And I just looked at the numbers a few minutes ago. The NASDAQ's up 20, over 20. The S&P's up about 16. Dow's up about 14. The broad market, which I look at the Wilshire because I like that, it's about 17, I think.
Oh, this is since just the first of the year?
Yeah. Wow. So we financial people would annualize that, you know. You go 4 times 17. Yeah. But, yeah, it's been incredibly strong. And the cool thing about this that I've been watching is, and you and I have talked about this before, I like smart people. So I watch what smart people are doing. And the two people that I watch to see what they're doing, just because it gives you an idea of, you know, how everybody's feeling, are only 50% invested. So half their money so far this year has been in cash. So half their money they've missed this market. And I doubt that that's unusual. In other words, not everybody's a raging bull. You know, people are still afraid, which means, you know, historically, if you're a contrarian, for instance, you like things go the other way, you know. If everybody's bearish, then that means this market could continue, you know, theoretically. And could end today, too. But theoretically, when you see things like this happen, you don't want to be on the wrong side, as the investment professionals say, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the trade. So if you're in cash, you know, you don't really want to be there right now.
Yeah, you've been missing out on quite a rally.
You know what happens? It makes you look silly.
Yeah.
See? It makes you look silly. I hate that. So, and I'm not saying I'm on there. I'm just saying, you know, I have a friend of mine. He used to say, you know, I can look dumb all by myself. I don't need any help from an investment standpoint. And this has just been so interesting to watch it. The strength of the economy, the strength of, you know, what's going on. And the thing that's funny about this market is one day, you know, we're down in the dumps because China's a problem. Next day, the Democrats want the president's tax returns. So we're down. So every day, there's some reason that the market should be down. And it goes down, and then what does it do? It rallies right back again. You and I have been talking about this for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
how this is the most versatile market I've ever seen. I've been doing this for a lot of years. This is the most versatile market I've ever seen, where it gets slammed, and then bingo, right back up again. And if you bet against it, you're a loser. Marty Zweig used to say you don't fight the tape. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. You got to be on the right side of this trade to make money. And the right side of this trade has been you'd be invested. And if you're not, why? You know, of course, you know, the numbers are really high, and nobody makes those numbers typically. I mean, the broad market's up 17. Well, there's probably not many people up 17 because people aren't that aggressive generally.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some bonds. They have some alternative investments. So my view is that, you know, if you're up 8 or 10, that's a pretty good quarter.
Most people, when they hear, you know, of an increase of even 8-10%, and, you know, you're looking at treasuries and CDs, and they're below 1%, 8-10 is a pretty good return.
Yeah. It's been the bond market's also been interesting. You know, the bond market bores me. I don't like it very much. But you basically have a flat yield curve now. It's changing a little bit. But I looked at it, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. You could get paid, if you bought a United States Treasury and you had a six-month maturity date, you were earning 2.5%. And if you had a 10-year maturity date, you were earning 2.5%. So inverted, it's called, whenever the markets do things like that, it's inverted and it's not good usually. Usually it leads to a recession.
I mean, you should have a much higher return if you're leaving your money in there for 10 years.
That's right. If you're willing to take the risk, ordinarily you got paid for it. In this bond market, you're not getting paid for it. So it's interesting. And typically, historically, having an inverted yield curve is not good, and it leads to some bad economic numbers, maybe a recession. But I look at things, and I just don't see it. I don't see this recession anywhere. Of course, I don't know any more than anybody else, and you have to know that. You know, I don't know any more than anybody else. From a personal standpoint, I don't see a recession anywhere. The problem is that markets change. You and I have talked about this. Overnight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go in, everything's great. And the next market, the next day, the market opens up down 400. So you just never know what's going to happen. But this has been a really cool market to watch. If you're invested, number one, if you have money in the market, it's been really cool. If you've been missing out, why it's not been so good.
You mentioned bonds a moment or so ago. So from a professional wealth manager standpoint, are treasuries and CDs, are they considered bonds?
Bond equivalents.
Okay.
Bond equivalents.
But as distinct
and treasuries are bonds. So they are bonds. There's corporate bonds, there's junk bonds, all mm-hmm. kinds of bonds.
Municipal
mortgage,
bonds.
Mortgage bonds, yeah. All yeah. kinds. And generally, it's been difficult in the past few years to make any money in the bond market. Bond market hasn't been kind to anybody. And, you know, you were making 0.10% if you had a money market fund.
Yes.
And, you know, those rates are up. I mean, the bond market's been a little weak, so those rates are back up again. So now you're looking at dividend-paying securities again that not too many weeks and months ago were not paying you for the risk. So it's been a little more interesting to own bonds in here. Not many people are buying, you know, a lot of people, and this is not a good thing. A lot of people would look at the yield curve now and say, why do I want to buy 10 years when I can get 2.5% for 6 years or 6 months and get the same money? So why do I go out there? Well, if interest rates go down, that's why you want to go out there. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the Fed chairman. I just think I just don't like him at all. He was, he started raising interest rates and, you know, shot fear through the markets, and they went down, and they got slammed. And he was so surprised, you know, gosh, I don't know why the markets went down, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, I'm like when you raise interest rates, you give investors alternative places to put their money. I mean, if you can make a 6% return in a treasury, why do you want to put all your money in the stock market? Why not take 6% guaranteed, for instance? And so this guy acted like he had no idea how the markets worked. Now he did so much damage, and he's under pressure from the president. The Fed may be lowering rates again. Who knows? I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Fed decided, well, we raised them too high, so we're going to lower. So that's what the inverted yield curve is all about. Nobody has a clue what's going on. That's why nobody's, you know, everybody's willing to pay 2.5% for 10 years, 2.5% for 6 months. I don't have any idea what's going on, so I'll just buy both of them, you know. So it's been, nobody knows what this market's going to do. I don't have any idea. I can tell you that the trend is up, but, you know, nobody knows what this market's going to do.
Is there concern? I saw a piece, believe it or not, by a reporter for the BBC in the United Kingdom, what she's doing analyzing the U.S. market. Well, it's a global.
Yeah,
it's a global marketplace these days. But she indicated some concern about scuttlebutt among the professionals, is the bull market in the United States about to end? We're 10 years into a bull market, continual rising stocks. She noted that, and I didn't realize this, the S&P 500 inching closer to a record. We've had some of the other indices that have topped their all-time record highs.
We are right there again.
So does that scare some people? Is that why some people are keeping money on the sidelines?
Sure it does, but that's why financial writers have a job. See, they can write about what if. You know, I love it when I read this stuff, you know. Well, the market could go down. Well, it could go up, you know. So I love these guys and women whenever I read their stuff. But I did read something interesting the other day. I had not seen anybody voice this opinion. But this person, a moderately knowledgeable human being, says he thinks that this market could continue as a bull market for years. So what does that mean? It means most people consider a bear market down 20%. So he's saying that in his view, if nothing gets messed up here, this market could continue going up for years. And it might have little corrections here and there, but no big deal. Well, he doesn't know anything more than anybody else either. I just thought it was interesting to read it.
So in light of all this, you would, as you have for many, many years, recommend a balanced portfolio, right?
Yeah, I don't need to be cute. I mean, in this business, it typically doesn't pay you to try to be cute and try to guess where the market's going to go. Typically, most people can't do that. I don't know anybody can do it. So I think that what you do is, and this is something very difficult for the investing public to understand. Okay, so I'm invested and I'm 70% in stocks and 30% in bonds, and the market goes up 20% in 6 months. And my phone rings. And an investor on the other side of the line says, "Hey, Howie, the market's up 20% in 6 months. I think I ought to put more money in the stock market." Well, you know, don't do that. Now, you could be right, but my advice to investors is to be prudent. Figure out how much money you want to lose. I've told this to several times. You know, people would bring money and they would say to their financial advisor, "Okay, I want to give you this money. What are we going to do with it?" And the advisor would say, "Okay, if you give me this money, how much money can I lose before you take it away from me?" See, I love that question, because it makes people stand back a little bit. They don't like to hear that. I don't want you to tell me about losing money. I want you to tell me about making money. And I said, yeah, but I can't build a portfolio unless I have some clue as to how much risk you are willing to take. It is true that, you know, if you'd owned the Dow for the last 120-some years and you didn't sell, you couldn't lose any money. You couldn't lose money as long as you didn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
If you sold, obviously, if you bought high and sold low, you could lose money. But I don't have a clue what's going to happen in the future. You know, I wish somebody would offer to sell me what's going to happen. I'd like to know what's going to happen in the future. So if you see anybody that knows, let me know. But you just don't know. So you should build an all, I call them all weathers. I mean, it sounds trite, and I'm sorry. But I try to build all weather portfolios. You make a couple of bucks if the market goes up, and you only lose a couple of bucks if the market goes down. Now, everything's not perfect. You cannot guarantee yourself against loss, and you cannot guarantee yourself that you're going to make gains. But you can have, you know, you can use some common sense when you're building a portfolio. If you don't want to take the risk of the stock market, then don't have 100% of your money in the stock market. Have it in bonds, alternatives, gold. I don't care where you have it. But you build a portfolio that is diversified.
Can people come to you or other wealth managers and say, "Well, I'd like so much in the stock market, but I'd like to be conservative about it as opposed to aggressive."
Sure.
Then you can pick and choose which stocks to put the money in.
As long as that's exactly right. You are exactly right. People will come in and say, "Well, okay, I want to be conservative." And of course, I always say, "Okay, can you tell me?" Can you tell me what conservative is? And they struggle with that. You know, well, I don't think I want to have all my money in the stock market. Okay, so do you want to have 50%? 50% in the stock market, 50% in the bond? You want to have 60%? What do you consider conservative? Most people don't know, Dave. Most people don't know. You have to ask that question. How much money can you lose before you take it away from me?
Well, that would be my definition, and I certainly don't have any expertise in this area, but if somebody asked me, you know, what I meant by conservative investment, it would be, I'd like to maximize my return as much as possible, but also minimize my risk.
All right, Dave.
You know,
this is my recommendation to you. You listen to me. You got your money there?
Okay.
All right. How about if we build you a portfolio that has 50% of your money in stocks and 50% in very short-term bonds? Okay? What does that mean? That means, David, if the market goes up 10%, then you're probably going to make 5%. If the market goes down 10%, then you are likely to lose 5%. How's that for conservative?
Seems conservative to me.
Yeah. Now, but you could also 60-40, 70-30 could be considered conservative. 70% in the stock market, 30% in bonds. That would be, I wouldn't call that conservative. I put that at moderately aggressive. 70-30 is probably moderately aggressive. So I don't remember the last time I ever recommended to somebody that they put 100% of their money in the stock market. I mean, you know, and I don't know many advisors that would recommend that. I mean, I just don't know people who would recommend, yeah, I think we ought to put all of our money in the stock market. Maybe there are some out there, but
But even within the stock market, there might be, you know, companies that many people look at as up and coming, hot, or however you want to put it.
How about a dividend-paying company, for instance? If you could find a stock that was yielding 5% or paying a 5% dividend, and it was a financially secure stock, good earnings, prospects are good, blah, 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 blah. So it pays a 5% dividend. Theoretically, that 5% dividend would help support the price of the stock. So if the market went down 10%, maybe that stock didn't go down 10%. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm. I am.
So if it has things that you know, might cause some stability, you can look at that. Again, you can't be protected 100%. If the market goes down, it's likely you're going to lose some money. You're just trying to figure out, and this is not easy. I mean, anybody who's a professional in this business struggles with this all the time. How do I build this account so that this client is happy? You know, is it 60, 40, 50, 50, 70, 30? What is it? Because every person's different. You can think that people think alike, but they don't necessarily think that way. They also, Mike Tyson used to say, what was it? Everybody had a plan until they got hit. You know, Tyson used to say that. People would fight against him, you know, and they all had a plan until he hit them.
Heavyweight boxer, by the way,
exactly,
Mike Tyson.
Exactly.
They got a bit off somebody's ear in a fight.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So people, I have known situations where people have said, okay, I am comfortable at this level. And then the market goes against them. Guess what? All of a sudden they become uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know that I could lose that much. You know, so I believe that advisors today, in my opinion, have to be careful. We have to be careful.
We'll take a break. We'll continue our conversation with Howie Penteny, visiting with us. Howie Penteny from Penteny Capital Management in Portersville. You can talk to Howie there. And by the way, we always mention this when we're chatting with a professional that, we're chatting in general terms here today. Certainly not offering any advice on what stocks to buy or what not to buy or that sort of thing. If you want that kind of specific advice, talk to your wealth manager, your financial advisor, or whatever. But we hope to stimulate some thought and some conversation with our chatting here today. So let's take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Howie Penteny today from Penteny Capital Management, wealth manager, and we're talking about what, appears to be a really significant and surprising bounce back for investors after a bit of a slap that occurred at the end of last year. Was it December that was that the really bad month?
Yeah.
Where stock market dropped precipitously, but we've recovered. And as Howie said, some of the major indices are up 20% since the first of the year, since January.
It's so. This is kind of an interesting thing to point out, just to point out to people. And I read this the other day, and it's probably wrong now, but 20% of the stocks are not above their December highs. 20% of the stocks in the S&P 500, I think, are not above their December closing prices, right? Not the December highs, the December closing. So there are some stocks out there. Not all stocks go up.
Mm-hmm.
So 80% of them are up, but 20% are down. So if you own part of that 20, that's just the way the ball bounces. And that's why it's difficult to be up what the market is up, because the indexes are, normally not a true – you would think to yourself, okay, the Standard & Poor's 500 is up 16%. So that means that all the stocks are up 16%. Well, no, that's not true. So it just doesn't work like that. Not everything is up all the time. But also, even in a bad market, you have stocks that go up. You know, when you have a bear market and the stocks get slammed, there are also stocks out there that go up. I don't know what the number is, whether it's 20% or whatever. But even when the market's bad, some stocks do perform well.
Well, the S&P 500 obviously is 500 companies,
yeah.
Where the Dow is, it's really just a handful compared to, it was around 30, isn't it?
Right. It's difficult. The Dow's up 14, and, you know, I don't even look. I mean, I look at it because people call me and say, okay, what's going on? You know, where's the Dow? I had a non-client call me. What's the market? And, you know, I was almost embarrassed to tell them that I hadn't looked today. You know, this was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I haven't looked because I think that here's what you have to do. You and I have talked about this, too. Here's what you have to do if you're going to be an investor. You have to have courage. If you don't have courage, you can't be an investor. You just can't. I mean, if you look at your money, so you gave your advisor $100,000, and the first week it's worth $95,000. I mean, you got to have courage. You got to have prudence. You have to be patient if you're going to be an investor. And not everybody's cut out to do it. You know, some people are great, and some people are just perfect, you know. I know somebody who gave money to an advisor, and 3 years later, it took 3 years to get even. So, man, if you're not patient, it can be tough. And you got to be prudent. I mean, you can't, to our original conversation, you can't be cute, in my opinion. If you win, you win. I mean, there are some people, you know, you can be cute and win. But I just don't think it's healthy. You know, I don't think it's healthy for people to try to be cute and outguess the market. Because, I mean, I've been doing this for 4 decades, and I can tell you that I have no clue where the market is going to be a week from today. I have no clue.
Well, there's so many unpredictable things. Take, for example, this would be an example I would use. I don't know whether it's applicable or not, but look at Boeing with their 737 MAX jetliners that, you know, suddenly they're grounded all over the world. And that's been a black eye for Boeing. They've certainly taken a hit. But then it ripples through the entire airline industry. I just saw a story on the wire this morning, as a matter of fact, that Southwest Airlines is cutting some flights out of Pittsburgh to, I think they're nonstop to Los Angeles and where else was it? Another city.
Right.
And it's because they've got 34 jets grounded. 34 of their aircraft are sitting on a runway somewhere out in Arizona, you know, while they try to fix the problem. And these are mostly brand new planes, by the way. This is 737 MAX 8.
Right.
And so Southwest says, which, by the way, is the they serve more people and have more flights into Pittsburgh International than any other airline. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. But they say, we don't have the planes, you know, until they're approved for a flight again, we've got to make some cuts. And who could have seen that coming?
Right. That's basically the problem today. Market's doing well. All of a sudden, you know, we have a geopolitical issue someplace in the world. Well, that could knock the market down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tragedies happen, and markets are susceptible to surprises. Markets usually know, I think, my opinion. Markets usually know what's going on. Stock markets anticipate very well. But you cannot anticipate an unknown. You can't do it. So if you're flying along here and everything's fine and something bad happens, you had no way of figuring that out. And that's why you have to have all-weather accounts if you can. If you can do it, that's what you have to have. Or you can't be you just can't be an investor. I had an acquaintance who was a real estate person, all of his life, real estate. Apartment rents. He rented apartments. And very successful guy. And he came to us one day and he said, I think I want to get in the stock market. I need to diversify. Okay, well, that's a pretty bright move in my view. And so he gave the money to the advisor, and a month later he came back and took all the money back. You know why? He couldn't stand it. He could not see in the stock market, you can see your money's value every day.
Yeah.
Okay? All you got to do is look, and you can see. If you bought whatever it is you bought, you can see it trading. Or you can get online and look at your statement, you know. And this gentleman, nice guy, smart, he could not stand it because his buildings didn't go up and down in value every day. He couldn't see that. So they did go up and down in value every day, but he couldn't see it. There wasn't a price being quoted. So he was a really bad investor from that standpoint because he wouldn't give it a chance. It drove him crazy. You know, he looked at his account, and he'd be down $15,000, and it just drove him crazy. So, you know, you do have to be patient, and it takes, in my view, a special person to be an investor.
Do you know anything about this Elon Musk guy who's come up with the Tesla car? He's come up with his space program. I think it's called SpaceX. I don't know whether any of that stuff is publicly traded or not, or whether it's all private for this guy. I did an interview a year or so ago with a guy who did a biography of
Tesla's trading.
Elon Musk. He's an interesting character.
He is.
But Tesla is the car right now. It's a very expensive car, but who knows? 5 years from now, and this SpaceX thing, you know, because the U.S. government, NASA, we're not sending anybody into space. We don't have any rockets to do it. Since the space shuttle program was retired, and that was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago now, anytime we want to send one of our astronauts up to the International Space Station, we have to pay the Russians like $5 million to put our guys on their rockets. But this SpaceX thing, they just tested one without any people on it, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Did you see that story? They'd sent it up with supplies, you know. It docked. They dumped the supplies. And it comes back down. It's reusable.
Right.
This thing looks like, you know, if you had some money, I think I'd give it to him. It looks like it can't miss business.
It's difficult. You know, I think your point's well taken. That's another thing that's interesting. I mean, if you and I had talked about this 10 years ago and I told you that Sears was basically going to be out of business, what would you have said? You're crazy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of companies like that. I forget how many have shut down this year. I mean, it's thousands of businesses have shut down this year. And so things are going to be changing. It's very difficult. That's why I personally find retail investing very difficult. I'd be better off asking my wife what's hot, you know, and making my decisions based on what she likes rather than me trying to figure it out myself. So it's very difficult to know what's going to be hot 2 weeks, a year. You know, and that's why you cannot be a short-term investor. I mean, I occasionally get the question, okay, what would you do? You know, I get, what would you do? What would you do if your daughter was getting married and you had to come up with 50 big ones to pay for the wedding?
I'd say smaller wedding.
Well, no, you can't say that. Or you'd be saying it to the daughter.
I was joking.
Yeah. And so what I tell and advise people to do is take the money. Get the money out of the market. Because if the market goes down 10%, the 50 you need is now 45. And that's, if you're paying for a wedding, that's a good bit of money. And so you don't really care if it goes up. You just don't want it to go down because then you have to take out more money to pay the more shares. You have to sell more shares to get 50 than you did before when the market was higher. So I just try to use common sense, be prudent, and you know, and yeah, I'm not saying to consider the worst case scenario. I'm just saying, you know, you got to think about it a little bit, about what you're going to do, you know, what can go wrong, what can go right, and then make the best, make a decision based on the best available information you have at the moment. And that's the best you can do, because you don't have any clue what's going on.
Talk a little bit about foreign markets. How are they doing? I realize there's different parts of the world doing different things, but there seems to be so much turmoil in Europe. You know, is the United Kingdom in fact going to back out of the European Union, right, or are they going to have another referendum vote, or they can't come up with an exit plan? Yada yada yada. Is this impacting even some of the stronger economies in Europe, like Germany, for example?
Exactly. Yes, it is, and. I'm not a politician or anything, so I don't, you know, what do I know? But I think the big mistake was made when they just didn't, when Brexit just didn't happen. Let it happen. Now we're piddling around 2-3 years into the situation, it's not taken care of. That's just drawing it out, as the coaches say in a basketball team, you know, well, let's throw it up and see what happens, you know? And so I think my view is they should have thrown it up and let's see what happens.
They just kicked it down the can, exactly, down the road,
so
again
they just
last
keep
week.
And if I were the people in Great Britain who voted for Brexit, who are responsible for it being there, I'd be really upset. You know, nobody's done anything. And it reminds me of the United States, you know. But at least somebody should do something. And if you make a decision, people of the United Kingdom made a decision. They went out of here, and nobody's done anything about it. And I just hate that. And I've been in Britain since that happened. I've been over there since it happened. And unless you go into the hinterlands, generally speaking, you're talking to people who are scared to death because they didn't vote for it, and they didn't want it to happen. So if you're in the cities and everything, you're talking to those people. They're scared. You know, they don't know what's going to happen. What are we going to do? Are we, you know, people going to move their companies out of the UK, which they are. Mm-hmm. And so people don't – I wish they had done it. Let's do it, and then let's see what we're dealing with here. Let's deal with it after it's done. Let's make a decision because – you know, people don't make decisions well. Lots of people don't make decisions well. And I've always been in favor of, well, at least he made a decision, or she made a decision. You know, if you take the lady in Germany, you know, let her make a decision. She's obviously not stupid. Let's make a decision. And let's deal with it down the road. Let's not kick it down until we – I mean, all uncertainty does, Dave, is cause people not to take action. Right? I'm not doing anything. You know, I don't know what's going on, so I'm not going to do anything. If I knew what was going on, I'd take action. So, you know, again, this is my view, and it's not a simple, I understand, it's not a simple decision. But, gosh, make a decision, implement the decision, and then deal with it. I mean, to me, it's just so simple. See, I'm a simple man. It seems to me, make the decision, do it, and deal with it.
It's interesting because, and I'm not terribly well-versed in the history of the European Union, but when it was formed, I mean, it started out, it was strictly an economic thing. It was called the, European Economic, it was EEC, whatever that stood for. And then they decided, well, let's make it, let's go a little bit further, you know, and we'll actually have a European Union, and all the participating countries will elect representatives, and we'll send them to a parliament in Brussels, and so on and so forth. I liked it because if you look at the history of Europe, it had two world wars.
Right.
It started in Europe. And, you know, we have a couple of generations now here in the United States who have grown up, and they can't imagine that. They can't imagine Germany starting to invade France, for example.
Right.
Well, it happened 75 years ago.
Right.
And it happened before that, too. And at least I thought with the European Union we would have a better chance of, you know, long-term peace. But Britain, They were the oddballs from the very beginning. They, you know, I said, okay, we'll join your European Union, but we're keeping our own money. They were the only country that did that. Everybody else went to the euro. Stayed on the pound.
Very difficult. Yeah. I mean, when you, I was a pessimist when it happened because I said, this will never work. This will never work. All these countries are not going to adopt the same currency. This will never work. Well, what did I know? You know, it did work. And it worked for a while. It was never perfect. It was never perfect. But it did work. So, that kind of surprised me. I said, well, you know, okay. So it works. But who knows what's going to happen now? Are we going to have more currencies? Or everybody drops out and we go back to, you know, the pound? Or I mean, what do we do here? I don't know, and I don't think – I'm sure nobody knows. But to answer your question, it's very difficult to move forward – from an investment standpoint or otherwise, in Europe with the instability that's going on there. And it's even difficult to do it in Asia because of the instability in China. So, you know, we're the best game in town so far. And it's difficult to do it here. I mean, we're doing just fine. Gross domestic products doing well. There are, less jobless claims than there have been in 50 years? Is that the story this morning?
Yeah.
50 years. 50 years! Less jobless claims. So we're doing okay. It's you know, it's just difficult to make a decision. If it was that easy, though, and we always talk about this, you know, if it was that easy, everybody'd be doing it. You know, That's why there are horse races. Okay,
it seems like
you figure out who's the best horse.
Very difficult time, I would think, to do investing in foreign markets, as you said. There's so many huge question marks. I mean, here in the U.S., we go up and down a little bit, but you know, in other places, I mean, you have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, the problem with Europe, as I see it, again, my opinion, is that there's no question. I mean, everybody. I'm not a foreign stock specialist, so I don't know this for sure. But in my view, what I see is that it's very difficult to move forward in Europe when there are so many questions. I mean, there's no question in my mind that the stocks over there are cheaper than they are in the United States. But that doesn't mean anything. If they don't go up, they don't go up. And what if they're cheap for years? You know, what if the foreign markets don't do anything for years? So you have to stay where the horses are. You know, you got to stay. There's an old saying. I think it was one of our Native Americans, and I don't remember who it was. Whether it was Sitting Bull, I don't think it was. But anyway, the quote was, When you discover yourself riding a dead horse, it is best to dismount. See, I like that.
It's a good one.
if you're in over your head someplace and things are dead, I mean, I don't know how many people I've heard over the years, I'm going to wait till I get even, then I'm going to sell. I mean, inside, whenever I hear that, I just laugh. Who says that you're going to get even? Where did you get that information? You know, you could be not even for years. So, you know, why not make a decision? I think Chuck Noll, this is a paraphrase, I'm not sure it's accurate. But Chuck said something like, you know, he was a big... If you knew Chuck Noll, you knew that he had game plans. You with me?
Absolutely.
He had game plans. Okay. And Chuck would say, if you change, again, it's probably not correct, but if you change your game plan, that is a sign of panic. And panic is not in our game plan. He just didn't believe in it, see? If he thought something would work, he would stay at it. And he must have been fairly intelligent because he was fairly, you know,
won four successful. Super Bowls in six years.
Exactly.
Pretty good.
So, you know, it just takes common sense, and it just, you can't be crazy. I mean, I think that's probably one of the biggest mistakes I've seen investors make is holding on to stuff too long. You know, the thought is by a lot of, I can't sell it because what if it goes up? Well, now, wait a minute. You're going to sell it. You're going to take the proceeds. You're going to buy something else, right? Well, maybe it'll go up. So don't worry about whether or not what you're selling is going to go up. Worry about making a good decision on what you're going to buy. See, to me, that's important. Got to make good decisions. And if you're prudent and you buy quality and blah, 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 it's very difficult, you know, to be way off bar. It has been historically, I must add, historically, it's been very difficult to be wrong if you were prudent, if you held on. Now, who knows what it's going to be in the future, but, you know, I would rather, you know, I love to buy. I mean, buying is something I love to do, but I love selling. I really love selling because when you sell, then you put that hand out there, and what do you have in it? Money.
Yeah.
Okay. And what does that mean? It means you can't lose any more money because you got it in your hand. Okay. So I don't mind selling. I like to sell. The problem is, see, the difficulty is, what are you going to buy? Or are you going to buy it all? If you take money out of the market, what am I going to buy now? See? Well, nobody says you have to buy anything. You could sit on it if you wanted to, but you know, I like the feeling that I get when I sell something, and I have that money, and that means I can't lose. If the market goes down tomorrow, I can't lose any money tomorrow. That's a pretty good feeling. But it's also fun to buy. I mean, when you think that the markets are good and you buy, there's no greater feeling, you know. And there's no greater feeling buying something in the morning and seeing it the next morning that it's up already. You know, you bought it and it's up in value. So, again, there's nothing positive or not the best choice of words. There's nothing assured about the market. You never know what's going to happen. But you can do certain things to make you feel better. And I like that.
We'll take a break. Come back and talk more with Howie Penteny here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart, so think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Hey, folks, have you heard about Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center? Yeah, they're located just off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Going Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. And that takes care of a situation that sometimes can be a real bother. You know, you got to get the wrapping paper, the string, the tape, whatever you need. They'll do it for you. And you can ship any way you want to, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They will package your items for shipping at Going Postal Butler. Other services they offer, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have an official notary, also greeting cards, even a lottery agent. Going Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's in the Shockey mini storage area. For more information, give them a call, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Pittsburgh commuters, are you tired of sitting in traffic while wasting all of your money on parking fees, wear and tear on your vehicle, and gas? Butler Transit is a commuter's choice from Butler County to Pittsburgh. BTA's chartered buses offer free park and ride locations, onboard Wi-Fi, and charging stations, and real-time bus location technology. Stop worrying about traffic, detours, and downtown parking. Catch a bus at a location near you. Visit butlertransit.com for daily schedules, mobile ticketing, and a stress-free commute.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Chatting with Howie Pentany from Pentany Capital Management in Portersville. Have you filled up your gas tank recently at the neighborhood pump? As usual, as we head into spring, the price of gasoline has gone up at man, this time it's skyrocketing. It's up like 50 cents since January, 50 cents a gallon.
Well,
$3 a gallon now.
Right. Well, I kind of laugh when people say, gosh, why is gasoline going up? And the answer to that question is very simple. Because the price of oil is going up. And generally speaking, it's a commodities market. So it's a law of supply and demand. And so if the price of oil is going up, that means that there's either a real or a perceived shortage of oil somewhere. Oil is a commodity. What's inflation been doing? Not much. So oil's fighting that, see? Now, it's just fighting it recently. I think for the last 52 weeks, oil is actually down. But for the last few weeks, it's up. Now, here in Pennsylvania, we get socked I just think it's horrible. We have a 65 cent a share, a gallon tax. 65 cents on each gallon. So if you take 65 cents off of $3, that's where theoretically, you know, the market should be, but it's not. Because here in Pennsylvania, we have such huge taxes. I think they're the highest in the nation, I think.
I know it's close. I'm not sure it's exactly the highest, but it may be.
And as long as you can see, I mean, I think taxes are interesting to me because I don't think people mind paying taxes if they can see what's happening. In other words, what are you doing for me? And if those taxes are high and people see the roads being repaired, you know, and that kind of thing, then I'm not sure people just yell and scream. I think they just want to be able to see what's going on. Unfortunately, when you pay taxes at the federal level, you can't see what's going on. So people don't like paying high taxes to the federal government because they can't see what's going on. I mean, occasionally you can see, and I laugh at this all the time too, well, you know, it doesn't cost anything because we got a federal grant. Well, now, wait a minute. Who paid?
Where'd that come from?
Where'd that come from? It came from you. You paid taxes. And the Congress put it together, and they get accolades for handing out these federal grants when it's not their money. It's your money and my money, see? So I just think that people don't mind paying taxes as long as they see something happening, and it's very difficult to see it when it's at the federal level.
What about gold? There's another commodity that some people at least invest in.
Well, gold, my view is, everybody can own some gold. I mean, I'm not a big gold buyer. and I don't necessarily recommend anything. I don't recommend anything on this program, but you know, I don't see anything wrong with owning a little gold. I mean, it would be you own some stocks, some bonds, some gold. I mean, you know, it's probably okay. The problem most of the time with gold is that it costs you to own it. If you buy bullion, for instance, or gold coins, and you stick them in your pocket or in your safety deposit box, you're not making any money on them. Now, if they go up in value, okay, you're good. But if you buy bullion, for instance, you have to pay storage on it. And then when you sell it, you got to get it assayed. So most people buy alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they buy ETFs or something that represent gold.
Or Krugerrands, can you still buy those?
Exactly. You can buy all kinds of gold coins. So you can do that if you want to. Then you're just subject to the market going up and down. And you're subject to liquidity. I mean, if you need your money, most commodities make you subject to liquidity issues because you never know what you're going to be able to sell something for. For instance, let's say you bought 1,000 bushels of corn and you paid $5 for them. Well, who knows next week if they're selling for $4.50, you know? And so you want to sell, you sell them next week and you take a big loss right off the bat, 10% loss right off the bat. So it's very difficult to trade commodities, for instance. And the commodities markets have been not much cooking. Why? Because there's no inflation, you know, no perceived inflation anyway. And I think the Dow Jones Commodity Index in the last year is down, but in the year to date it's up. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, in the last 52 weeks, the Dow Jones Commodity Index is down. This year, 3 months, it's up like 11 or something. So, you know, it's just crazy to watch it. Crude oil is up 40%. Why is gasoline going up? Because crude oil is up 40%. So, you know, there shouldn't be any surprise to anybody. You know, if you watch oil, crude oil is up 40%, so your price of oil is going to go up and your price of gasoline is going to go up. So it's not a surprise. It's not hidden anywhere, Dave. There's no big conspiracy by the oil companies to make you pay more for your gasoline. It is a result of supply and demand. And obviously, the supply has been picking up. Why? Because our economy is pretty good. I mean, if you take a drive on an interstate, I drove recently on Interstate 80 for a little while. Man, the trucks are everywhere. I mean, there's 18-wheelers everywhere driving around. So the demand for fuel is up, and the price of diesel fuel's up. Gasoline's way up.
And, of course, we're entering the busiest travel season of the year, too, vacation season and so on.
Gold's only up like 1%, for instance. There's an example. If you put gold, if you had a choice at the end of the year, it would have been tempting to buy gold instead of fuel oil, right? Or instead of oil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you would have been big time wrong, because oil's up 40% and gold's up 1%.
You might as well put that money in a certificate of deposit if you're only going to get 1% on.
Right. It's very, like I say, it's very difficult. These markets operate, you know, they operate on their own. I have no proof anywhere that anybody controls them. I just think that if you're going to be an investor, you be prudent and you buy quality. And generally speaking, over a long period of time, you've done okay.
You can talk to Howie Penteny at Penteny Capital Management. You can give him a call.
If I were you, I'd buy some golf balls. the way you're losing them, I mean, you know, if you could buy them now, see, now there's a good point. Maybe they'll be higher.
Penteny Capital Management's in Portersville, member FINRA, SIPC. Right? Did I get those numbers? Yeah, I did. That's right. That's what it is, right? Yeah. FINRA SIPC.
And we don't know anything, so don't take our word for it.
It's informative, and we hope fun. We hope we make it fun for you when we chat with Howie Penteny from Penteny Capital Management. Perry, Howie, have a good... you're just back from vacation. You were in France, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Just got out in time, you know.
Were you at the Cathedral of Notre Dame?
Notre Dame, yeah. Well, last time we went over this time because there were a lot of things we didn't get to do. We did the, you know, we did the easy tourist things last time we were there. Mm-hmm. So this time we went over to do things we didn't do last time. So we went to, we went to the museums, and you know, we did things we hadn't done. We'd been to Notre Dame, so we just kind of drove by it, and there were scaffolding. I mean, ever since, I don't know, 10 years ago probably, there's been scaffolding at Notre Dame. Yeah. It's always there. They're always working. It's a medieval church, okay? It's fallen down. Yeah, it's fallen down. So they keep working on it all the time. It's like going to Rome. You know, you see stuff over in Rome, and they're working on it all the time. So unfortunately, it's sad, but hopefully the damage isn't as bad as we thought originally. So
mainly it was the roof that burned off.
Yeah. So we did go right beside of it and just take a look, and just to see if they were working on it, and they were. So it's pretty cool. Paris is a pretty cool place, actually.
A city of light.
City of light, and it is. Yeah. And I'll let you go with this because I know you're busy. Like 90% of the residents in Paris live in apartments. No houses. I didn't see a house anywhere when I was there. They all live in these apartments. 2 million people. There's a lot more people outside of Paris. There's not 8 or 10 million or something. But in Paris, it's all apartment living.
Close quarters. Yeah.
Very close quarters. So it's interesting. It's a great city in my view. It's a beautiful city.
Well, good to see you, and have a good holiday weekend.
Thanks a lot. Look forward to it. Hit them far.
Okay. That wraps up our program for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR.